Hey everyone, welcome in to a daily editorial here on the KE Report. I'm kicking off today's daily editorials with another company introduction. This time I am chatting with Outback Goldfields, newly traded on the CSE under the symbol OZ. I am chatting with the president and CEO, Chris Donaldson. Now, just to bring everybody up to speed, Outback Goldfields is a relatively new company. The company is rebranded from a past company. There is a new team that was brought on, a just over $11 million private placement, a couple project acquisitions, and a stock rollback. All that happened really in December here. So with this new team, this is a new story and a whole new focus, a focus in and around the Fosterville gold mine in Victoria, Australia. Now, Chris, I want to start off by talking about the general strategy around Fosterville. I think everybody knows of the Fosterville gold mine, but there really hasn't been a whole lot of news about the surrounding area and a staking rush that, in all fairness, has come into the area over the last couple of years. Give us an initial little background on what attracted you to this area and the company's strategy here, please.
Sure. Hey, Corey, thanks for having me. Outback Goldfields. So we getting our ducks in order here over the last few months, rebranding and done to Outback Goldfields, finishing the acquisition of four properties in the Victorian Goldfields, or what many people are now calling the Fosterville Goldfields. And this is a historic region that has produced over 80 million ounces of gold. Most of that was in the 1850s, and it was shallow, nuggety gold. Is actually the reason that at one point Australia was the richest country in the world. And really, there hasn't been a lot of mining done in the last 100 years, and that was until about 5 years ago where Kirkland Lake, Fosterville mine, they made a discovery. They went below cover and found ultra-high-grade 50-gram per ton gold in what was the Swan Zone. And that has started a new rush to the area. So there's a number of companies that are, you know, have picked up land here over the last number of years. And, you know, there's a ton of money that's going in. Fosterville themselves are putting about upwards of $100 million into exploration plan for 2021 as well. What attracted me and the team to these assets is while there's a staking rush that's going on right now, we acquired these from a company, an Australian company called Petrotherm, which is listed on the ASX, and they, you know, assembled these 3 to 5 years ago. So we really enjoyed, you know, kind of first mover advantage in the region, and we've got a really strong set of properties that you know, we're just starting to get on and explore right now. So what attracted me obviously was the area. I mean, this is there's a mantra that my chairman Craig Perry he uses, is, you know, when you're evaluating projects, it's, you know, what is the size of the prize, what is the cost of the test, and what is the chance of success. And if you put those metrics on this area, I mean, the size of the prize is what Fosterville has, 50 gram per ton. It's the highest grade, highest margin mine in the world. And what's the cost of the test? Well, it's easily accessed, you know, or in the case of our project, we actually have our main geologist on the ground lives on one of our tenements. And what's the chance of success? Well, this region has produced 80 million ounces historically, and the geologists now, and since this discovery of the Swan Zone, believe there's upwards of another 80 million ounces yet to be discovered.
All right, let's start talking about some of these projects, because the company does hold a portfolio of four properties in the area. We're going to follow up on a news release that came out just yesterday that outlined some of the initial exploration plans. So that is going to focus us on two, it sounds like, of the main projects that we'll have work done on them. First, Glenfine. Let's talk about this project. I understand that you guys are planning some drilling here in the relatively near term, but give us a little background on this Glenfine project in terms of previous operators, any other information you can give us.
Yeah, so Glenfine is one of the four properties that we have. It's the most drill-ready of the properties. We hope to have a drill turning, you know, by the end of January. We're in the process right now of just negotiating land access and so forth. But like a lot of the properties in the area. There's been historical drilling adjacent to the property. There's about 60 million ounces that has been drilled out. There has been little drilling on our property in any kind of modern time, but there has been some. So, I mean, we've got a 20-kilometer trend of highly prospective geology that we will go after. It's along a basal dome. There has been some mineralization that has been identified over the last few years from the operators that before us. So we will follow that up. We're planning, upwards of 4,000 meters on Glenfine in Q1 here of this year.
So I understand that there are two main targets here that you guys sound like you're focusing on, British Banner and Glenfine, both targets on this project. What's going to be the attack strategy then in terms of further developing some of these targets for that drill?
Yeah, I mean, so we will be doing some IP geophysics along the length of the contact there, and then we'll kind of refine the findings and start ranking and prioritizing further drill targets. So, I mean, we're just getting going here, getting an understanding of the area, but like I said, we're starting that right now.
Now, what about historic results that you guys are working off of? When were some of the past holes drilled, and what are some of the grades that attracted you to some of these targets?
Yeah, I mean, there are a number of them there, and you're able to see it in our presentation. But, I mean, some of the drill holes are 21 grams per ton over a couple of meters. And British Banner, the area in the last couple of years, they had, 4 meetings, meters at 9 grams per ton. So we're talking high grade here, but just not a lot of drilling has been done to date.
Okay, let's move over then to the other project that's highlighted in this news release, Ewan Groon. There's another historic mine, the historic Golden Jacket Mine, that's on the west side of the property. I also understand that this property-wide has shallow cover across it. So what's going to be the attack strategy here for developing some more targets?
Yeah, so that property can almost be divided into two. There's a Wedderburn area, which has some very, very high arsenic and soil anomalies. 50 parts per ppb is typically anomalous, and we have some that are up over 3,000. So that area, we're hoping to get a drill in here in Q1. But the other side of the property, there was a historic mine upwards of 250 grams per ton. It was only about 1,500 ounces that was mined there, but there's a 30-kilometer kind of focus of exploration that we want to get in. And like much of the area, it has shallow cover. So not a lot of exploration has gone on beneath that. So we'll do some magnetic survey followed by some soil geochem, and then easily accessible, we can do some bedrock RAB drilling in Q1 as well.
Give us a little bit more background then on this project in terms of when this Golden Jacket mine was in production and when the last, let's say, explorers or operators were on the project.
Yeah, so I mean, we're talking 1800s, late 1800s, early 1900s. So, it's very historic drilling and mining that has gone on there. And it has not been drilled out with any kind of modern mining techniques.
Okay. Now, as I mentioned, the company did raise a little over $11 million just last month. Take us through what cash is in the bank and what the budget is for this phase one program.
Yeah, so I mean, we had a really good response, and just before Christmas, we went out to raise $6 million and ended up raising $11.4 million. We have over 10 remaining now. We haven't put a full budget around, but it's phase one will be kind of $3 to $5 million that we plan on spending. So the majority of that $11 million will go into the ground here over the next 18 months.
Okay. Let's also talk about share structure, because I am introducing this company. The share structure is tight. Well, you guys did roll some shares back when you did clean up this overall company. So shares outstanding, a little over 58 million, fully diluted basis, about 47.4 million. Give us some insights on what management and insiders hold and any institutions, please.
Yeah, so we're fairly broadly held. Our raise was done non-brokered. We spread it around. 10% would be managers and insiders. We've got probably 20% institutional at this point. And part of the reason for that is, you know, to acquire the properties, we issued 33 million shares to Petrotherm, and it didn't go to them in a block. It's going what they call in species to their shareholders, and they have quite a broad base of retail investors who comprise, you know, the 33 million shares that are going out.
Can you clarify a little bit to what's happening with those 33 million shares? Because when I was reading over the transaction details, it's a bit of a unique transaction in the sense that the shareholders of Petrotherm aren't just getting those shares, because that could cause a pretty immediate liquidity event. How is that process working?
Yeah, we didn't want this to go out as a block. So Petrotherm is going to distribute them in species. So it's almost like a dividend or spin out for their shareholders. They've got a shareholder base of about 3,000 retail investors. There's still a hold on those shares as well. So, the good news is the main 20 shareholders of Petrotherm, many of them came in on our last financing. So this isn't something that they're looking for a quick flip. In fact, it was the financiers of Petrotherm who approached Craig and our group to acquire the properties from them. And their rationale was, you know, they've seen the success that some other Canadian companies have had, Fosterville South, Mawson Gold, to name a few. And these projects tend to get valued better on Canadian exchanges. So that was one of the reasons they wanted that. They also wanted Craig to run this project. So they're very much looking for a discovery. This is not a quick flip for them.
Let's just wrap it up then with the little insights or summary on future news flow. What can investors expect?
Yeah, so we should have some pretty good news flow here over the years. So we're mobilizing right now. Unlike other areas, there's a bit of a backlog for drill results, but we're hoping to get first assays and grab samples and so forth coming in, kind of by March-ish. One thing that's quite interesting is there's a large auction that is going on adjacent to one of our properties. Our Silver Spoon property touches on Kirkland Lake, Fosterville on one side, and Newmont's property on the other. And then the third side, the Victorian government is putting up a bunch of land for auction. And the rumor is that it'll be mid-tier or major, paying $30 to $80 million. So we'll find out about that in March, and that should set a value for some of the properties in the area. We've got a good balance of drill results and excitement in the area. There's $100 million that Kirkland Lake is spending this year on exploration. If you add up all the juniors, a rough number might be $150 million of exploration going on in the region. And the nice thing is, if any of these companies find something close to a swan zone, it should float all the boats there. So there should be steady news flow, not just coming up from our company, but the region going forward.
Okay. Hey, Chris, appreciate the update here. Again, this company is just getting going. And in full disclosure, I am a shareholder of Outback Goldfield. So we will be following up as some more news hits the market. And Chris, keep us up to date on how this is progressing towards getting that drill on site. If anybody has any follow-up questions, please email me, fleck@kereport.com. Chris, appreciate your time today. Thank you.
Thanks, Corey.